is Sally Portnoy, an innovative interdisciplinary artist working in glass, clay, bronze, cement, polyurethane, mosaic, and steel. Her designs have been exhibited in numerous solo and group exhibitions in Australia, the US, and Canada, and have earned her wide recognition and representation internationally in private and permanent collections. Her work has also been exhibited at the annual Chicago Sculpture Objects Functional Art and Design Fair, dedicated to three-dimensional art and design presented by national and international galleries. Sally grew up in Winnipeg and studied ceramics at the University of Manitoba, the Nova Scotia College of Art and Design. She did her BA in Fine Arts and Masters of Studio Art in Sydney, Australia, and has done numerous workshops and courses with leading ceramicists of Canada, the US, and Australia. She has been living in Australia for many years and has been in community projects, as well as taught many weekend workshops and summer art classes. Welcome to Art World Innovators, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Yes, hi.
When you describe your art practice on your website, you write that your creative inspiration is a mystery to you. Can you elaborate on what may spark your ideas by describing some of your works?
Sure. When I say it's a mystery to me, it's that I don't start out with a totally clear concept and then work to that. My concept and my understanding of what I'm doing evolves as my work is evolving in front of me in three dimensions. So often I'll even start out with just inspiration from the materials, especially glass. It's such a seductive and tantalizing material as it transmits light. I'll often think, oh, that would look great in glass. And I'll start making something and I'll realize it has continuity with what I've made in the past, and that my subconscious is basically coming out in 3D in front of me and feeding back to me stories and important things that are important to me. I'm also very influenced by nature because that's just the best designs out there. And so, yeah, I guess that's what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. It's a mystery to me in that, why did I choose to do that, not this? Or even when I'm looking at other artwork, why does this appeal to me and not that? I know materials and form have a lot of impact on me, but a lot of it's mystery.
And how does your traveling add to that mystery and influence to inspire some of your work?
Well, I think firstly, it allows me to know myself outside of my comfort zone. And especially when I'm in a country that is culturally very different than where I grew up, I get different feedback of who I am because people aren't relating to me coming from a certain family or a certain place or having a certain occupation. They're relating to me just from my pure energy. So I think it takes you out of your comfort zone, traveling, and wakes you up, the way I travel anyway. And I just see a lot more when I travel. When I came back from Turkey, I used to do some semi-production work and would come up with different designs every year and then explore that. So when I came back from Turkey one year, I made very heavy gold fused pieces that, you know, remind me of the glitz of Turkey. So I just see more and I get influenced by more when I travel.
And what's involved in the process of your ideas?
Mostly I just jump in. I don't do fused work anymore. I'm mostly making figurative or semi-figurative solid cast works. I just stick my hands in the clay and start, usually. I'm always thinking of the mechanics of how I can realize the piece, like how it will be fired, what will actually work, because glass can be pretty tricky. So it's a combination of, you know, the physicality of the material and my ideas, but mostly what in my practice now, I'll make something solid in clay, cover it with a plaster silica material to make a mold, pull out the clay, and place cold glass in the mold and fire that. That's basically it. I often, as well, if I have particular projects, we'll start with hot glass rather than cold glass, and I'll hire somebody to help me pull it out of the furnace and drop it into molds. So it depends what I'm doing. Sometimes I'm working in bronze and then I'll make waxes. But basically I start with my hands in the material and just go.
I interviewed a contemporary of yours a couple of weeks ago, Alan Lakovitsky, and you had some similar training together, yet you really took different directions in your art practices. Can you tell us about your training experience and where it led you?
Sure. Well, I started out at University of Manitoba studying with much inspiration from Alan with Robert Archambault Ceramics. But I had already lived in Australia and missed the ocean. So when Walter Ostrom came to as a visiting artist to U of M, he inspired us to go to NASCAD in Halifax, which was a fantastic opportunity. Alan finished his degree there with John Reeve, and we both were the studio assistants and worked very closely with him. And I got very fond of the Leach tradition and making pots. And then we came back to Australia and set up a pottery, two potteries, actually, one in South Australia, firing it with sump oil, and the other in Sydney. But how did I get into glass? One summer I was back in Winnipeg. I came back to Winnipeg almost every summer. But this one summer I was staying for a couple months and rented a studio at Warren Carter's studio on Roslyn Road, rented some studio space and put together a ceramic exhibition. And he was a glass artist, is a glass artist. And though we work very differently with the material, he took me on a road trip of his past around California where he studied. And I was introduced to this material that glazed itself. So I was very excited about that. I had started making some ceramic earrings just because I wanted a pair to match a dress I made, and painted them up and glazed them. And I saw this material that glazed itself. So that excited me. And I started fusing bits of glass. I ended up painting gold on them. Then I guess the pieces of jewelry just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I was really seduced by the material glass. And I think at the time, too, it was somewhat influenced by the fact that I could probably make a better living with glass. But I've not given up my love of clay. My models are still mostly made in clay. And a couple of years ago, I had the chance to throw some pots at Alan's studio and realized I still love doing this and have the intention of going back to making some pots as well.
Have you exhibited in many places in Australia and Canada? Where else have you been exhibiting?
Mostly Australia now. I got a bit disillusioned with international galleries, how they treated the artists and how they treated the artwork and the expense of sending work over. So really, at the moment, I'm mostly doing group exhibitions. I had a solo show just over a year ago in Australia, but now I am working on larger pieces and just doing group exhibitions. I have one piece at the WAG at the gift shop until they renovate the middle of January. It was the model for the public artwork I did at the Rady Center. So it's three dancing gals on a sandstone pedestal, and the piece there is ceramics, glass, and bronze cast, which was too expensive to do outside at the Rady Center, but the form is quite similar. And I also have worked at the Warehouse Arts Gallery in, I think it's McDermott Street in Winnipeg, but I don't really have any plans of any international exhibitions at the moment, though you never know what's around the corner.
But when you did go to Chicago and you were at the SOFA, yes, what was that experience like?
Well, it was fabulous seeing what else was out there and having my work displayed in such a prestigious place with, you know, a gamut of artists of all different mediums. It's a lot of work and a lot of expense, though, and in many ways there's a couple big galleries making money and the people renting the spaces. Otherwise, it's not that fruitful for artists, but it's still worth the experience. So I enjoyed it when it happened, and I think I did it 2 or 3 years. And you gain exposure a lot that way, but now with the internet, it's not as useful.
Well, looking at your photos online, when you're teaching, it looks like you're having a lot of fun, and you seem to have an interesting, innovative teaching technique of taking your students through the process of starting with blowing glass bubbles to blowing glass forms to casting. Can you elaborate on how you like to teach your workshops and some of the workshops you've done?
Well, mostly I teach glass casting, and I teach open molds, which are very simple. So that has a lot of limitations, and I find it interesting to have those limitations and work around them. Most of the time, the students are spending being creative and doing rather than getting bogged down in the process. I teach glass blowing in my studio just once a year as part of the Manly Arts Festival, where I hire a glass blower. I'm not a glass blower myself, so he teaches kids gives them the experience of blowing a bubble or teaches people how to make a simple vase. It's really just whetting their appetite for an experience that they might take further or not. In my classes, I'm specialized in two-day classes where I just throw all the information at people, and it gives them something to go further with if they choose. When I teach internationally, mostly they are two-week classes, and then there's more time to explore ideas, not just the process. But yes, I get very inspired by inspiring others and seeing what direction people take, because everybody's so different.
Does it give you ideas for your own work as well?
Probably somewhat. I think mostly I give them ideas. A lot of students copy their teacher's work, and as I did it when I was a potter, for a place to start.
And can you tell us a little bit about the Manly Arts Festival?
Well, the Manly Arts Festival is a once-a-year festival that's a pretty dynamic festival of all sorts of types of artwork and theater. And in my studio, we open it up for kids. Come in and they blow a bubble till it bursts, which is lots of fun. And my assistant is very patient and really great with kids, so that's been really fun. And people also have a chance to make a vase, and then there are more intense two-day workshops that come after that, where people really learn the skill of glass blowing. It's just the beginning. It's like throwing pots. Some people take to it very quickly, and other people take a long time to center and to get the mechanics of it moving. But it's an inspiration to see so much energy, and it's also a bit scary because I have like 100 kilos of glass at 1100 degrees centigrade sitting in my garage at the time. So every year I think, oh, will I do it again? But and glass studios with hot furnaces mostly have closed down. It's a dying art because it's so expensive to run.
You also mentioned some international workshops that you do. Can you tell us about the one that you did at the Glass Furnace in Istanbul?
Well, I haven't done that for a long time because it keeps getting cancelled.
Oh.
So that's really sad because of their political situation. They're struggling, but it's a fantastic setup, and I encourage anybody to get there that can. And Turkey is such an inspiration in itself. It's just, you know, things get thrown at you constantly, and the vibrancy of the place is very inspiring. But the setup there is they've got a fantastic facility, and I've gone in and taught just plain glass casting. Whereas when I went to Kilchuk, I went with my son, and we taught glass casting and slug casting, which he would take balls of hot glass from the furnace and drop them in molds. And I do that in my studio as well with assistance from somebody who can carry heavy amounts of hot glass on the end of a stick. So, yeah, and so sometimes we work with Team Portnoy. We've been doing mosaic projects together locally as well, so that's been a lot of fun.
Is there anything you'd advise young artists as they start out on their careers or become more established?
I'd advise them not to get rid of their day job. It's not an easy thing. I mean, I started out as a potter thinking, okay, if I make objects, that's much easier than selling paintings. Well, I was wrong there. But I advise anybody to have the courage to follow their own truth and to just keep on making. You get better as you keep on making and looking. Look at form, look at things that you like, notice what you like, and try not to be too influenced by getting into exhibitions, because you get a lot of rejections no matter who you are, and a lot of it is the luck of the draw, and believe in themselves, really.